Unbelievable. John chapter 3. That's where we'll take off from, and I want to read a lot of scriptures today. Maybe have some of y'all, so keep your Bible handy. I might have y'all to read some of these scriptures. How about that? I do like to keep the congregation involved. I do like that. Don't want you to fall asleep, and it's easy to do that sometimes. But what I'm going to probably have to try to do, I had a couple things on my mind, but I'm going to probably try to take and split this in half and do part of it when we come back from eating. And we'll just see what the Lord does. I was wanting to do something else, but we'll see. We'll see. John chapter number 3, that good famous chapter. Boy, I thought I was something when I memorized John chapter 3. Could quote it all from memory. And now I don't know what to think, Miss Holly, because I can't remember it anymore. I can't quote it like I used to. But John chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse number 14. And the Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then verse number 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." There's another one of them thoughts right there. Acts 4:12 goes along with that right there. Zach quoted that verse this morning and said, "There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And there it is again in John 3:18. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. How about that? Reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. When I read this, I want to look at some things through the scriptures today, and starting with John chapter number 3, I want to look at some things that points out to why Jesus came to planet Earth. Why did Jesus come? There's things in this Bible that explains and tells plainly and clearly why Jesus Christ ever came to such a place as this. And then in them same scriptures and in other scriptures, and we won't cover them all, but in other scriptures also, it tells why Jesus did not come. It's not why he came. There's reasons why he didn't come, as well as there's reasons why he did come. Number one, he didn't send his Son, if you look at these scriptures, he didn't send his Son into this world to condemn the world. That ain't why Jesus come. He didn't come to bring condemnation on mankind. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he didn't send Jesus here to condemn us. That's not why Jesus here. That condemnation is not because of Jesus. The condemnation that's on us is because of sin. Sin is what condemns you, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a preacher. It's not the living Christ. But I tell you who condemns is sin, and the father of sin, the devil, is the one that condemns. He did say that he's come for judgment, though. That's right. There's a difference between judgment and condemnation. Jesus did come to do what? To judge sin. And Jesus came to die for our sins, but he did not come to condemn us. One of the perceptions that sinners has of the saints of God is that they're always condemning sinners. How many of you ever heard that? Boy, y'all are always condemning somebody. I mean, you're always condemning somebody. But you know what? I'm not condemning people. I tell people what the Bible says, and the Bible judges people for their sins. Let me remind you that you cannot be condemned by a preacher. Listen, a preacher can't condemn you. A beloved family member can't condemn you. A good church member can't condemn you. The Bible says plainly here, says that it's our sin. The reason you're condemned is because you believe not on the name of the Son of God. That's why a person is condemned. Jesus don't have to do that. The preacher don't have to do that. Your spouse don't have to do that. Your neighbor don't have to do that. You do that to yourself by not believing on the name of the Son of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. That's right. You're already condemned. You're born in this world under condemnation. She's born an unbeliever. Let me remind you that Jesus came not to condemn you, but to save you. He came to save sinners, not condemn sinners. On the day that I was born, I was under condemnation. I was wicked and vile. I was destined for hell. But thank God, just like John chapter 9, verse number 1, and when Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. Can I tell you, there I was in my condemnation. I was destined for hell. I was vile. I was unfit. But Jesus passed by, thank God, and saw me in my condemnation, and said unto me when I was in my blood, Jesus said, live. Amen. That's right. Thank God and gave me life. He didn't condemn me. I was already condemned. Thank God he lifted the condemnation. Yes, yes, there was a judgment on me. Thank God Jesus lifted the condemnation. Sure he did. Look at verse number 19, John 3. The Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Folks, we have the light of the glorious gospel today. The light has come into the world. We have the light. I get sick and tired of this stuff that people go to hell without knowing about Jesus. Nobody goes to hell without Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, friend, there's people that don't get a gospel preacher this morning. Maybe somewhere in this world, there's somebody that's never heard the name of Jesus Christ. But like we said a while ago, when that sun comes up, that's enough glory to behold for people to see the Lord Jesus. The Holy Ghost can reveal Jesus through the rising and the setting of the sun in our skies. That's right. That's enough for the Holy Ghost to do his work. That's enough for the Holy Ghost to prick a heart. But I tell you, man, no matter what we say, there's light in this world, all across this world this morning. There's some good, there's some able, there's some that's not so sharp. But I tell you, nonetheless, they're all over the world today, preachers standing behind pulpits, telling a lost and dying world that Jesus saves, opening up the blessed book of God and shedding the light of the glorious gospel into the hearts and lives of people all over this world. We have the light. We do have the light. We have enough light to save the world. Verse number 20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Watch this next phrase before, between the commas. Neither cometh to the light. Isn't that amazing? You know what they say success is today? Listen to me. I'm so glad God put this stuff in the Bible. You know what they say success is today? Would you please tell me what the independent fundamentalists say a successful church and preacher is? A large crowd. A large crowd. But did you see what your Bible just said? They don't even come to the light. People don't like coming to the light. They don't want to come hear the truth. That's what your Bible says. Oh, dear God. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, why people ain't busting out the walls of this congregation.
I can tell you why we don't have a seating problem. I can tell you why we don't have to look for a larger facility. I can tell you why we're just feeding a handful of people. I mean, for $50, we can feed everybody in the church today.
Because people don't like coming to the light. Oh, friend, they don't want to come to the light. It's what your Bible says. Can I tell you why this church ain't running over? Because this church preaches against fornication. Oh, help me, Jesus, this morning. If I could just tap into the mind of Christ this morning, it would help us tremendously. Listen, congregation. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Him. People preach on, I've been to meetings and people preach on fornication. Isn't it amazing how many young people in the world today don't want to go to church because they have to hear that guy preach on fornication, and they have to deal with that guy preaching on adultery. They have to deal with that guy preaching on the sins that they indulge and live in. Isn't it amazing that people don't want no part of that, but you can bust out the walls in these other places and people just flock to them like it's something great. You want to know why people are flocking to these places? Are you listening? You want to know why people are flocking to these other places? Because there ain't no light. Because there ain't no truth. Because they ain't being told the truth. Because they're not having to preach on things that people's having to live in. Listen. Listen, Steve. It's kind of hard to preach against this hip-hop music when you have a praise band that's playing hip-hop music. It's kind of hard to expose some of the wicked music of our day when what's on our church platforms is just as wicked as any concert platform in America. I mean, look at your average church platform today where they're flocking to. Look at them. Look at the people playing the instruments. I ain't talking about judging. I said, look. And then go find you a good Alice Cooper rock and roll concert and tell me which one of them has more clothes on. They got more clothes on Alice Cooper's platform than they do your average church platform today. I promise you. It's amazing. And I mention them because them some of the wickedest suckers I can think of. Kiss. I've never seen them do a whole lot of that. I mean, I've seen the little perverts like your boy for Queen want to take his clothes off. That's right. The perverts want to take their clothes. Guess what they're doing in our church? You want to know why? Because they're perverts there too. Right. Didn't mean to get on. I'm just saying that's why people don't want to flock. Because you can go to some of them places and just, man, entertain that flesh just like you was on Friday night in the back seat of that car. Hallelujah, friend. There ain't no change in your mind. They don't have to be any change in your heart. They don't have to be any change in your spirit. They don't have to be any kind of change in your life whatsoever. You can hop out of your lifestyle on a Friday night and jump into a church service on Sunday morning and everything just remains the same. Just old wicked lifestyle. Right. You want to know why they ain't flocking to places like this? Because we say stuff like that. That's why. That's why we ain't going to have it. We're going to expose that stuff. Thank God. There's a whole lot more in this world besides crooked politicians and sodomites. Sure there is. I'm telling you, you go to your average youth meeting and they don't never seem to say nothing about it, Zach. But they'll let them little old youth choirs come up in there, Steve, and every one of them's living up in some kind of gross sin. And man, these little old emotional moms and dads get out there because they see their little old son get up there at 27 years old and sing in a teen youth choir. And they want to shout and rejoice and get all emotional and goosebumpy. I'm telling you, you can stand up and say something about fornication and the place goes feather drop quiet. Amen. You can hear a feather drop. You want to know why? Because there's so much guilt in the place. Amen. Amen, son. I've seen it. I've been there. I've seen it and witnessed it with my own eyes, my own ears. But can I insert something right here? When I blow that kind of stuff out, I can't never get past the idea. I mean, I just want to put this in here. I want to pat everybody in the back that got up this morning and made their own decision. Man, I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to put my clothes on. I'm going to go over there with that old loud mouth country preacher. I hoops and hollers and cusses us out for sin. I want to congratulate everybody and pat you on the back that you've got enough character and integrity to make up your own mind to come to a place like this. Amen. Week after week. Now, I don't know if it's the right thing to say or not, but in my heart, I'm really proud of you. I do. I think about it, man, they come back. They just keep coming back. I keep saying stuff, and they keep coming back. That crowd's there. That crowd's there. I'm saying it's commendable. You say, what do you say? I'm saying there's some integrity. There's some character in you. And I want to thank you for that this morning. Now, some of you might have come because you had to. But some of you's here because you want to. And for that, I thank you. I do. I appreciate that. I appreciate your character. I appreciate your integrity to go to a place where you can be told the truth. Huh? I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't never liked no sissy preacher. I ain't never liked no little old preacher to sit around and pet me. I need encouraging once in a while. I tell you, the Bible said, David said, I encouraged myself. I can read my, you understand, before 8 o'clock yesterday, I was so encouraged that I couldn't even sit still. I seen something I've never seen in the Word of God. It got me so beside myself. I got on my phone and started texting people going, man, let me tell you what God showed me this morning. I was encouraged. I've been preaching something, Steve, probably wrong about all my life. And God showed it to me yesterday morning. I'm so glad. And I'll be able to share that with the church and show you where I've been wrong. And I'm so glad. Thank God. God will show you where you're wrong. I'm so glad. Thank God that He'll reveal stuff to you. I mean, it encouraged me in the Lord. Amen. I'll give you a hint. How many of you ever read about a message that a priest preached over in the Old Testament? How many messages you ever read in the Old Testament on Calvary? How many messages have you ever read in the Old Testament on Calvary? You ain't never read one. You never heard a Levitical priest. You never heard any of them get up and preach on Calvary. And I've said all my life that them Old Testament saints looked to Calvary. No, they did not. They didn't look to Calvary. They was looking for a king to come sit on that throne with all his royalty, all his splendor, all his power. They wasn't looking for a king to come in a manger. They wasn't looking for some king to come and hang on a cross. They wasn't come looking for some old poor guy that had to borrow somebody's jackass to get from one place to the other. They was looking for royalty, friend. They wasn't looking for Jesus Christ. The Bible said he came into his own. If they were looking for him, he came into his own and his own received him not. I'm going to tell you how they got saved. Not by looking to Calvary. They got saved by obeying that law and doing what God said in that law and going down there and getting their sins purged. Yeah. That's how they got saved in that dispensation. They didn't believe in Calvary. We do look back at Calvary, but they didn't. You'll never find that in the Old Testament. God showed me that yesterday morning. I said, hallelujah. Man, I got that phone and got to texting McVeigh and Asmuth and going, hey man, you know what? I mean, it's dumb. I'm almost afraid to tell it sometimes because I know they go, man, he's dumb. I seen that 20 years ago. I knew that when I was lost. Well, I've been around enough to know, Steve, that most people don't want, they don't mind you dealing with other people's sins. Oh, help me, Jesus. They don't mind you pointing out everybody else's faults. But when you start putting the finger on their sin, buddy, they don't like that junk. Trust me. I've been around enough people that, you know, listen, they got short haircuts, Steve. But if that preacher, bless God, gets on a man with long hair, they get so happy. I'm telling you. Listen, Miss Holly, they can cuss their wife out from here to kingdom come. But that preacher can get up and start busting long hair. And that hypocrite will sit there and shout, smile, and say, man, and love every bit of it, and go home and cuss his wife again. Ain't worth 2 cents. You hear me? I would to God that preacher look him in the eyes and say, you little spineless coward punk, sit around and talk filthy and ugly to your wife. You ain't a man.
Oh, I wonder how that would go. I wonder how the offerings would look that night. Huh? Probably wouldn't be so good. Might be better. Might be better. You say, why would it be better? Because people will pay conviction off of them. That's right. They'll give a lot of money to get conviction off of them. Seen that 1,000 times. The Holy Ghost convict them. And man, they don't give in to the call of God. And they start giving out that money to get God off of them. Easing that conscience. Yeah. All right. Look at verse number 21. I ain't going to get nowhere near why. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Boy, we could just thank God for that one, huh? He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Hey, man, I found out why people like truth. Because they do truth. I tell you why people hang around Bible preaching churches. Because they love the truth. That's right, they do truth. And the Bible says that he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Why would I keep coming to the light so my deeds can be made manifest? But they are wrought in God. You want to know why I got up yesterday morning and got back in my Bible? So some things can be manifested. Amen. Amen. Well, when you do right, or when you want to do right, you can go to a church that preaches the truth. That's right. When your life is right, when you have a desire to do right, when you have a desire for your life to be right, when you have a desire for your home and your family and all that just to be right, guess what? You have a green light to a Bible preaching church. That's right. That's right. But when people's wanting to live in sin, oh, the red light starts coming on. Don't want to be there. Now let's turn, if you will, to Luke chapter number 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 9. We're talking about why Jesus came and why Jesus didn't come. I don't want to get off too far in this. But let me say something to you. Because I've been studying that word come this week. And I thought maybe I could share some of that today, but let me just give you something. Why did Jesus come? I got to looking at that word come in a completely different context, Steve, than what we're doing, but it's just amazing how God puts things together. That word come is a word that says, basically, I want to be close to you. If Zach was out there in the churchyard somewhere and I said, hey Zach, come here. I'm gonna tell you something. That means I want Zach to get closer to me than what he is. I want him to close the distance. And Steve, I just looked up the word this morning, just not even planning on using it today, but I looked the word up this morning, close. Well, yeah, you understand that close and close is the same spelt word. Well, do you understand if you take that door right now, it's what? It's closed. Right? But if you take it and swing it wide open, guess what it'll be? It will be far removed from the seal and the jam. The seal is what keeps everything out and keeps everything in. We have heat and air in here this morning. The air is running. Outside of that door is a weather strip. It seals up to that door. And it keeps this air from going out there. And that hot air from coming in here. Do you know what that is, Miss Holly? That door is closed, but it's close to the seal. Now, you shouldn't disconnect it. It's hanging on them hinges if you just put it all together. But when that door closed, it's close, you understand? It's close to where it's supposed to be. Doors were made to close. Doors were made. That word close carries with it the idea of united together. When you close the door, it unites with that jam. When you come to me, you are supposed to be united with me. Jesus came so that he could be close to us. He come to close the gap, you understand? He is the door. And he come to close the gap in our life between us and him. And he come to call us to closeness. When he said, come unto me, Jesus wants us to come be close to Him. When He said, draw nigh to God, that's the same call to come be close to Him, to unite, to become one. Jesus came, we can see in the scriptures, that He might be close to us. Now, I said Luke chapter number 9, verse number 51. And the Bible says, we'll go down to verse 56. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. Are you there, Zach? Read down to verse 56.
I sent messages before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans and made ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirits ye are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village.
You see what them boys said? They said, can we destroy? They won't receive. Can we kill them? Can we get rid of them? Can I tell you something? That ain't why Jesus came. That ain't why he come. He didn't go to that village so all them people could be killed. Man, you wouldn't believe some of the foolishness and stupidity I've heard preached out of that text. You just would not believe. It blows my mind at how silly and foolish. The Lord did not come to destroy your life, but rather, listen, what did he come to do with your life? That's right. He come to give you life. Fulfill your life. He didn't come to take your life. He come to give it to you. May I remind you that when you get saved, you don't want to... Listen, all I can hear anymore, I can remember people saying stuff like this. All you can do as a Christian is nothing. I mean, man, Christians has got... Listen, people say stupid stuff. Christians has got all these rules and regulations and, man, all these guidelines. You can't do this. You can't do that. You have to do this. Can I be honest with you? When I got saved, I didn't want to do this. Hey, man, the God, thank you, Jesus. Before I got saved, Zach, I wanted to wallow in the filth of this old world. Before I got saved, I wanted to indulge in the lust of my flesh. Before I got saved, I wanted to be identified with this old world. In church, I'm telling you, when I got saved, oh, thank God, it made me want to break apart from the filth of the world. It made me want to not be identified with them, but be identified with Christ. It changed me, friend. It changed me. When you get saved, I'll promise you, listen, when you get saved, you ain't going to want to wallow in the filth of this world. You don't want to. You just don't want to. Man, I'm telling you, ain't nothing worse. Listen to me. There ain't nothing in this world worse than a man that claims to be saved or a man that is saved that's trying to get the stinking of the world back on him. You hear me? That's a miserable feeling. That's a miserable, miserable human being. When a man is saved by the grace of God and rubs up against the stench of this whole world and tries to get that smell, I'm telling you, friend, that's a miserable human being. That ain't no place to be. I won't be there. I won't be there. I'm telling you, one of the meanest times in my life is when I'm not where I ought to be with God. That's right. I'm telling you, man, I'm hateful. I'm not an easy person to be around. I'm not an easy person to talk to. You say, why? Because my whole life is out of whack. I'm not what I ought to be with God. And I'm telling you, I'm not a happy camper when I'm in that shape. No. I think I just heard my wife say, well, he's not right with God 99% of the time. I've heard people say stuff, listen, I've heard people say stuff, well, I don't want to get saved because I want to do this and I want to do that. And I mean, y'all have all heard of people say, man, we want to have a time and, you know, we'll get saved at a later day and we got some things we want to do first. And can I say this? When a person is in that position, listen to me, when a person is thinking like that, best thing you can do is walk away.
because they are nowhere near ready to be born again. If a person's thinking they got some wild oats to sow before they get saved, bless God, let them go do whatever they got to do. Leave them alone. I'm telling you, man, we got people that's wanting to sow wild oats, and yet we got people making them pray prayers and begging them to altars and make some kind of profession of faith and never get a possession of Jesus Christ. You know what happened to me, Mama, when I got saved? I got real good and sick. See, before I got saved, I can remember bowing down in them woods at night. Zach, and it's just like it happened last night. I was so sick and tired of everything in my life. Yeah. I was so sick and tired of me. I was so sick and tired of my doings. Sick and tired of my goings. Sick and tired of my ways. I was sick and tired of the way I acted. I was sick and tired of everything about me. Could not wait for Jesus to do something about it. Amen. Man, I was excited. You hear me? I was thrilled to death to have Jesus do something about my life. Take my life and make it what he wanted it to be. I was thrilled to death about that. Son, I didn't sit out there in them woods at night and make deals with God. God, I'll trust you, but I want to be able to do this. Friend, you hear me? I was sick of everything. My sin wasn't fun. There wasn't no sin I was holding on to. Everything about me become exceedingly sinful. I hated what I was. I hated where I was. I hated where I was going. Everything was disgusting to me. I said, oh God, have mercy. I mean, God, would you take my life and do what you will with my life? God, would you take and fix it? Oh, thank God. Amen. Everything I'd done was exceedingly sinful, Steve, and I couldn't wait to be delivered. I got to that place. Zach, I got to the place where I couldn't wait for God to save me. Couldn't wait for that transition. I couldn't wait for that change. I couldn't wait for that death to be turned into life in my life. I was just thrilled to death when Jesus did that. You know how thrilled I was, Miss Holly? I said, thrilled. I said, Lord, I'll do anything that you say. I'll do anything that you say. Lord, I'll go anywhere that you send me. Lord, I'm so happy that you saved me. Would you just take my life and use it, Lord? I'll do anything, God, that you say. That's how happy I was, Miss Stephanie. And as a young buck, I packed up with you and just left town because I felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to do. Amen. And went through the school of hard knocks, and God put us through many dangers, toils, and snares. And thank God we come this far in grace and carry us on. Hallelujah. Wouldn't trade nothing for it. I thought, Steve, boy, I wished I knew this guy. At that time, I wished I knew that guy. Man, I would have liked to have been sitting under this guy, but I'm telling you, man, I look back and see all the bumps and all the hard knocks in my life and go, man, I wouldn't trade them for nothing in this world. I'm so glad God put me in Florida. It's pathetic, friend. Thrilled to death about it. Well, let's look real quick. Let's go to Matthew, go back to Matthew chapter number 9. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come to take our life. Isn't it amazing how people think that they're living? I know a lot of people don't like that old song. I kind of like it. I just started living. That's right. When I got saved, I just started living. Matthew chapter number 9, look at verse number 13. It says this. Steve, do you have it?
Yes.
Read it for us, please.
But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Did you see why Jesus came? This verse right here shows two reasons, two things, why he did come and why he did not come. Number one, he did not come to call righteous people. Ain't you glad? Thank God that Jesus did not come to this world to call righteous people, because if he had, you'd have died and went to hell.
Can I be honest with you though? I don't know any people that was righteous. Outside of Jesus Christ, I don't know any of them that was righteous. I know some that thought they was right. Them Pharisees thought they was righteous. It was a crowd that thought they were really in good shape. You know, could pat yourself on the back and brag about their Christianity and what a servant, true Christian they really was. And God said, you bunch of blind, leading the blind. Vipers, you generational vipers. Oh man, ain't nothing to them people. Jesus said he didn't come to call sinners. And the second part of that verse is that he came to call sinners to repentance. How about that? He came to call sinners to... That's why, listen, isn't it amazing that one of the greatest parts that Jesus came to this earth for, us Baptists, is doing away with it? Isn't that amazing? That one of the very reasons that Jesus even came here, he came to call sinners to repent. That's right. There's another gospel being preached today, and it's being crammed down everybody's throat. And it's that gospel of faith alone, Steve. Faith alone. For years, Michael, we would kindly catch glimpses and pay attention to the charismatics. And old brother Pat back there, he enlightened me one day. He said, son, let me tell you what them boys is doing. He said, they're preaching faith in faith. Everything they did was a faith seed, a faith this, a faith that, a faith, just faith, 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 faith. And what they was trying to promote was faith in faith, when we ought to have faith in Jesus Christ. See, they would hoop and holler on the asking and receiving faith. You know, and if you're sick and you don't receive healing, then your faith is weak. And I mean, just, they would capitalize on faith in faith. Well, that seemed like, well, that's the charismatic, but ladies and gentlemen, ain't the charismatic anymore. As they swept across the country, that same doctrine has infiltrated the Baptist church, and now we have, went to the Sword of the Lord. Zach went to the Sword of the Lord conference, and I'm so glad that I can say it, that we went to the Sword of the Lord over here in Walker Town, and one of the famous preachers of the Sword of the Lord, the independent fundamental Baptist preachers, stood up and he made this statement. He said that they went to visit some people, and they, you know, was knocking on doors, and they went in there, and this man couldn't get saved. They couldn't get through. They couldn't get through. And he kept trying to get this man to repent. Kept trying to get this man to repent. Kept trying to get this man to repent. He said they couldn't get there. He said, I turned and we walked out the door, me and my partner. He said, the door shut. Listen to me. He said, and God said, I wonder what God, I know what God. He said, and God said, the Holy Ghost said, what's wrong with just believing? What's wrong with just believing? He said, he turned around and knocked on the door and said, hey, sir, how about just believing? He said, the man got saved. You know what he did? He said, away with repentance. Since you can't repent, how about let's just believe him and you can get saved. Suddenly walked away from that man's house telling him he was saved and he never could repent. Couldn't find a place of repentance. Do you hear me? And they told him just to believe in Jesus Christ and he could be saved. God help us. Let me tell you something. These people are literally getting a salvation. They're really, really getting something. They're really getting them with Jesus. But can I tell you, he's not the Messiah. It's not the same Jesus of this Bible. It's the Jesus of this world. It's the Jesus that allows them to participate in the sin, whatever their sin is, and they can get by. It's the Jesus that's allowing them to live any old way they want to. It's the same Jesus. Bless God that them hippies were serving back there smoking dope and popping acid. Wrong Jesus, friend. It's not the Jesus of this Bible, because here's why he came. He came to call sinners to repentance. Right. Preacher, we know this. We hear this. That's good. That's good. I want Caitlin to get it buried in her soul. I want Gracie to get it buried in her soul. Thank God I want them to come through repentance. You hear? Believe in it. Stand on it.
Don't just take my word. Look at what Jesus came for. Look at your Bible. Amen. Came to call sinners to repentance. Can I tell you something? Here's kind of my deal on it, Michael. If somebody broke into your house, just going to work, Michael, Zach, Steve.
If you went to work last week one morning, and you come home, and God forbid, but somebody broke in your house and stole everything you had, and beat your wife to a bloody pulp and left her in the hospital and your children. You come home and found blood everywhere. There they was, gurgling in their own blood, struggling for their life, trying to catch another breath. You had to call 911. 5 miles down the road, they caught this thug. 5 miles down the road. They took him over to the courthouse, Steve, and stood him before a judge, and the judge would stand up there and say, "Listen, I really don't see anything wrong with what you've done. I really don't. There's nothing really. You okay? You just need some help along the way. You know, maybe somebody just didn't do you just right somewhere down the road in life. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to excuse you and you just go on." Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the same Jesus that's being preached today, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen and heard of a lot of people that's had a lot of crimes committed against them. Zach, I've seen a lot of mamas and a lot of daddies and brothers and sisters lose their children, lose their siblings, lose people that meant everything to them. And I've seen them people give testimonies, and some of them harbor bitterness and unforgiveness and just hold on to that hate and just wish the worst of everything in this person's life. Well, Miss Debbie, I've seen them mamas get on there and break down and weep and say, "You know what? I forgive them. I forgive that man for raping and murdering my daughter. I forgive him. But I want him brought to justice. I want justice to be served in his." What she's trying to say is, I want him to stand before that judge, and I want him to pay for the crimes that he's committed. He would have to pay the price of what he's done to my daughter. My daughter didn't deserve that. And that man deserves to have to pay that price. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. What red blood of the man, what human being in the right mind don't want to see justice served? Who wants to see murderers and rapists and child molesters just get off the hook? Do you know in your Old Testament there was not even a sacrifice for a murderer? What was you going to sacrifice for murder? They didn't get to take a dove. They didn't get to take a goat. They didn't get to go take a lamb down there to the priest and say, "Offer this up. I murdered my neighbor." They didn't have one. Adultery and murder. There was no sacrifice for that. None. You know what it was? You get killed for it. You murder somebody, they kill you for that. No sacrifice. There wasn't no forgiveness for that. Oh, it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Listen, friend, that's justice. You know what's being preached today? You can live like hell. You can be a sinner. You can hate God. You can spit in Jesus' face. You can hang him on the cross. And you don't even have to repent of none of that. Live like a devil and never have to change your mind about the way you are. You just say, "Okay, judge, here I am." I'm telling you, friend, God ain't having it. He said, "Unless you repent, he shall all likewise perish." You're gonna have to face up to your crime. You're gonna have to face up to your sin. You're gonna have to face up to what you are. You're gonna have to take the law of God and let that mirror look you in the face and show you you're guilty, show you you're wrong, show you you're a sinner, show you're worthy of hell, and you're gonna have to come to terms. That's me! I deserve hell! Grace of God steps in. But I'll promise you one thing, you're going to have to acknowledge it. He's not just going to sweep it under the rug somewhere. His son didn't die for that. He come that we might repent. Repent. I'm telling you, ever since I started repenting, Michael, I'm still repenting.
I still repent. You know why I repented yesterday? Hey, I got up this morning, man. I searched my heart to see if there'd be any wicked way in me. Ask God to show me. Lord, is there any wicked way in me? I'm telling you, I've repented this week about some things. You want to know why?
Because I repented back there in them woods, and even long before I even got in them woods up there in Louisville. Started changing my mind about some things, friend.
That's right, God started working on my mind about some things. And I tell you, until you start changing your mind, you ain't never gonna get saved. As long as you thinking the same old way, as long as you thinking according to the course of this old world, I'm telling you, you ain't never gonna get saved. And repentance is a change of mind. I had some dreams, and ain't nothing wrong with them. I had some goals, and ain't nothing wrong with them. I tell you one thing, Jesus changed my mind. Man, gave me a brand new dream. Yes, sir. Some brand new goals. And thank God they're attainable and reachable and satisfying. Listen, church, we want to, hey, unless you repent, you're going to perish. People want to get this Jesus Christ today that don't have to, you don't have to face them old sins. You don't have to face that law. You know, I heard a preacher the other day, honest before God, I heard a preacher the other day, Michael, and he was tearing it up. Tearing it up. He was tearing the law of God up. He did so far away with the law of God, that congregation was sitting there clapping and cheering and shouting amen. And he was sitting there abolishing, just destroying that law. And I went, for God in heaven's sake, how is anybody going to get saved? According to this man, you couldn't be saved because the law was over. The law was done away with. We're not of the, listen, friend. That law's our schoolmaster. That law's what brings us to Jesus Christ. That law is what shows us the error of our way. Thank God for that law.
Well, let me give you one more maybe and we'll just go. How about that? Pay attention, it's getting close, Zach. Is he here? Huh. Matthew 10:34. Let's go to Matthew 10:34. Y'all ready in 9? Just flip over to 10:34. Miss Tanya, do you have Matthew 10:34? Matt, do you have it?
Yeah.
Mama, do you have it? Boy, listen to this. This is funny right here. Listen.
Think not that I am come to send peace to on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword.
Wow. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I couldn't bring a sword. Wow. I'm telling you something. He will give you peace, but that's not why he came. He came to bring a sword. Take that right there. Everybody in this world's crying out for peace, Steve. Everybody. Peace. Boy, they're signing peace treaties. They're doing everything in the world to find some peace. Jesus said, listen. Listen to what the Bible said. Verse 34, think not that I'm come to send peace. I am come to send not peace, but a sword. He said, I come to bring the word of God to you. I didn't come here for peace, peace. Here, have some peace. Have a little peace. Take you a dose of peace. Here's what he said. He said, I come to tell you what I got to say. He brought the word of God to us. That's what he did. He didn't come to just throw out peace to everybody. Listen, this old wicked, crooked, perverse world that was godless. This world was godless. He didn't come and cast peace out and say, here, what y'all need is peace. He said, what y'all need is the word of God. Let me give you my word. And he gave them the word of God. He gave them the sword. Man, gave them that sword. Now, with that, here, I want you to look with that verse. There's a twin verse to that. Look in, Luke 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke 12. I pray that you get this before we go eat lunch, okay? Get this right here. For some reason, everybody thinks we got this little old sissy Jesus. And Jesus had a plan. The Father had a plan. And man, he's a sweet, listen to me, he's a sweet, kind, gentle, loving, compassionate, merciful, gracious Father. I tell you that, he is. Brother, there's another side to him too. And he don't play. I tell you, he's got a plan and he's going to fulfill it. Luke 12:49 says this. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straight until it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to get peace on it. You think I come to get peace on this earth? You think I come to get peace? I tell you nay. He said, but rather division. Wow. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided. Listen, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law.
Son, I'm telling you, woo!
Say amen, Miss Amber. Right. Way you treat my wife, I tell you. Blah, 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 blah. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law's against her mother-in-law.
Read it verbatim.
What? You mean to tell me Jesus Christ came? Listen, I wanted you to get this because people take scriptures and just twist them up. And I, honest to God, think I got this thing exactly right. I do. I think I'm right about it. Jesus said, you think that I come here to give peace? He said, I come to cause division.
What about that for Jesus?
That's something else, ain't it? This little old
prissy Jesus. That little hippie that's
hanging on the wall up there in Black Creek. That ain't that Jesus, son. That's a peaceful fella up there. I mean, he'll smoke the peace pipe with you and everything if you get off.
How about that, Miss Ruth Ann? Them Mick Jagger's cousin up there on the wall. Oh, have mercy. How about Jesus said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come down there in your house and cause division. How about, you think I come to give peace down there? I'm going to come down there in your house and stir things up a little bit. He said, what I'm going to do is come down there and ruffle the feathers. I'm going to cause some problems down there. Boy, that's contrary to everything I've ever preached, ain't it? I mean, boy, I preach on Jesus in the home and stuff like that. Hallelujah. You know what that scripture's trying to say? Listen, get this, because you'll have some people that'll turn this thing around. You know what that thing's trying to say, Zach? That Jesus Christ came to this old world. And he would walk up Miss Holly over to a house in Judea. And there would be 12 people in that house, wicked as hell. Oh, daddy's a drunk. Sons and daughters is fornicators and adulterers. Living in ever gross, ungodly sin on the man. And Jesus said, I'm going to walk right up in the midst of that home right there. And I'm going to save that woman and two of her children. You know what he just did? You know what God did when he went into that drunkard's home and saved that wife? You know what he just did? He caused a division. Now there's a Holy Spirit divided against an unholy spirit. You know how many testimonies, Miss Holly, I could go back down there to Lawley. I could go back down there to Lawley, Florida. And I think about a couple of them women used to stand up about every month. They got saved out of a drunkard's home and her husband was still a drunkard. Them women would stand up and testify, I've heard it all my life. And they'd stand up and say, would y'all please pray for my husband? Oh man, I want him to get saved. I can remember that woman sitting over there testifying that stuff every time she testified. Would y'all please pray for my husband? He's a drunk, he's lost. Hey listen, John Davis, she would stand up and say stuff like, man, he's threatening to not even let me come back to the house of God. He's telling me that if I come back to the house, I can't read my Bible. I can't pray. You know what God did?
ruffled the feathers in that home, son. Everything was going smooth. They was all just headed straight to hell. And God disrupted the whole bunch. You know what I've seen? I've seen that ungodly crowd when God walks into a home and he'll save a mom or a daddy or a son or a daughter. I've seen this. Listen, I've told this before, but old Danny Arnold down there in Florida, running around snorting his cocaine. And Jacksonville Baptist Church sent a bus down there and picked up his little old daughter. And she'd go down there and learn John 3:16 and songs like Jesus Loves Me. And she'd come back and jump on her daddy's cocaine lap and start singing to him, "Daddy, I want to tell you what I learned today." And sing to him, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And start telling him, "For God so loved the world." And old Danny, he would sneak out behind the barn and hide and do his cocaine because he couldn't face up what that little guy was doing. I mean, man, it troubled him. And old Danny, I remember him telling me, "Man, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to straighten that." Harold Hunter's who it was. "I'm going to go down and I'm going to straighten that preacher out. I'm going to straighten him out. He ain't going to send my daughter home with this stuff." Tearing him up because he was having to sneak around. He was under conviction. Little old daughter was tearing him up with the word of God. Hey, what was going on? God was stirring the feathers. He was ruffling things up down there in that hole. Zach, as far as I know, Danny went down there and got saved by the grace of God, as far as I know. As long as I knew him, he lived for Jesus. As long as I knew him, he lived for Jesus. Never did get off track with God as long as I knew him from that time on. He said, "Man, thank God. God would just walk up in the midst of our messes, man, and just start saving people." Huh? Man, that ain't peace in a home. Do you hear me? That ain't peace down there in that home, because here's what I've seen, Mama. I've seen them drunks take them little old innocent wives. I've seen and heard the testimonies of them little girls that got saved and went home and told their daddy they got saved. And I've heard the testimony of them little girls where the daddies beat them to a bloody pulp because they come home talking about Jesus. That don't sound real peaceful, does it? Because it's not. Can I tell you something? Jesus came to disrupt them homes. Amen. Not everybody in your house is going to hell today. I'm going to snatch a couple out of the lion's mouth. I'm going to pass a few from death into life. I'm going to stir things up wherever you live. Bring a couple out. Hallelujah. Thank God. You know what I got to say? Boy, I'm trying to go, Michael. I really am. I don't know how your family is. I know some of the Catholicism in your background, but I think about my family and I think about how religious our family is, Steve, and I think about how about every one of them claim Jesus and they all go to church on Sunday morning from time to time, and it's real hard to be faithful, but they seem to muster up enough faith to get there once a week, and then they sat around and made fun of us for going to the old time stuff and listening to the Sammy Allens and the Harold Sidlers and just talking to that cat. Man, they've always made fun of us. And here's what I thought, Mama. Every last one of them that claimed Jesus. Well, I should say the last one of them. About every one of them that claimed Jesus can live any old way they want to. Just live like a bunch of dogs. You know what they say about us, don't you? They say, what did he say? Those who be in your own household, that's where you're going to find some problems, and be down in your own household. Prophets without honor, with his own country and his own kin, they ain't going to respect. They call us a cult. They say all kinds of things about us. They call us crazy down here. They call us a cult. But you know what, Mama? I've got people in my family that's lived their whole life until they got so old Viagra quit working. They lived in adultery. Zach, they went off and got into drunken stupors, drank some, they can handle their own in whiskey. Right. But they love the Lord now. Because now they're health conscious and they're worried about, you know, living a couple more years and, you know, so they had to start thinking about some of them. You know what I'm trying to say? Jesus didn't come and just call peace in my whole family. He saved me out of some of that junk. I'm so glad, thank God, he didn't just leave me sitting down there with religion. I'm glad he didn't leave me sitting down. Listen to me, and I'm not being ugly. I'm being honest. I'm glad, thank God, Steve, he didn't leave me sitting down at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm glad I don't have to be part of that dead, godless mess. You hear me? That form of godliness and no power whatsoever. I mean, hey, what do you do with a church when it's not got enough standards to even keep lesbians satisfied? Huh? What do you do with that, friend? When the lesbians in the congregation say, hey, preacher, you need to preach on some of the short shorts and bathing suits these women's wearing to church. When the lesbians got more standards than the pastor, huh? God could have saved me and left me in the middle of all that junk. God saved me, friend. Amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, glory to God. I'm glad God gave me something where I can look at one of them every once in a while and say, you better repent. You better repent. You better repent or you're going to die and go to hell. I'm glad he gave me that sign. You think it causes peace in my family? No, I've got some ugly love letters from some of my family members because I've looked at them and they're sticking third husbands and said, you better repent before you die and go to hell. Sure. Sure, I've got ugly letters from some of them because I told them the truth. Why don't they come here so their deeds won't be made manifest and not coming to the light? Because we're going to preach on third husbands and wives. That's right. We're going to preach on adultery. My God. Oh, God help us. Well, maybe we'll pick back up in John after lunch. I just wanted to get, well, Jesus come to cause problems in our homes. Jesus come to disrupt them lost homes, friend. He'll go in there and save some of them old sinners out of that home in spite of themselves, in spite of their family. God will save some of them old drunks and some of them old prostitutes. He'll save some of them old adulterers and fornicators out of them families. I love it. Well, that's why he came, Miss Holly. That's why he came. Some of y'all can sit around and start thinking about some of the stuff that goes on in your family. What God brought you out of, huh? Think if God left you in that mess, huh? Think if God just said, no, you know what? That whole bunch is worthy of hell. Forget all of them. No, God's good enough to go, you know what? Let's get in and disrupt that little home. Woo! Let's save a couple of them today. Be good, wouldn't it? Be good. Couldn't think of a finer way to disrupt a home than to save some of them old sinners out of it. Couldn't think of a better way. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Lord, we do. We thank you so much for the time to be able to share the word of God. I pray, God, that you'd continue to bless the services as we carry on. Bless the food that we're about to eat. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That's right, buddy.
Just like her mama. It's fast. As is the mother, so is the daughter.